This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brad Garrett, crime and terrorism analyst, is with us live on WBEN this morning. We're talking train robbers. This is like modern-day cowboy train robbing. Brad, they're stealing Nike shoes, thousands of them. This must be a huge business.
Oh, there is no doubt. And it's other items. But Nike in particular is, according to the reports I read, are a real attractive target. Just, I think, because if you think about the youth, that's a big deal for them, the tennis shoes and so forth and so on. So anyway, these robberies occur all over the place, but many of them, if it's a moving train, occur typically in the middle of nowhere. A lot of it occurs out of Los Angeles and Long Beach as trains load up from the ports and head east. And what they do is they track. This is my belief, and this is only based on reading railroad detectives' reports and other law enforcement, that they believe the bad guys can target a particular car based on the numbers on the side of it, the logos, and the type of locks that are on the actual train car. And so what happens is they have to track the vehicle or the train out into the desert as it heads east towards, you know, rural California and into Arizona. At some point when the train slows down routinely for a crossing or whatever, while the train is moving, they jump on the train, just like you would see Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid doing it back in the 1800s, and cut the air hose to the train. And once you cut it, the train stops. They quickly bust the locks, take out the items in this example, Nike shoes, toss them out to the folks that they rode out there with, and off they go, and typically taking those to a fence somewhere to get rid of them. Now, you would ask, how big a problem is this? Well, the major railway companies estimate that they lose over $100 million a year to train thefts. And if you add to that about 1 in 10 get caught, that's really a low clearance rate. And when they do catch them, many times there are multiple repeat offenders that have broken into trains. It's a major problem, and it's really difficult for law enforcement to track them.
I mean, that right there, 65,000 train heists last year. Think of this as, you know, the Wild West or something. It's happening right now. And I'd have to imagine, Brad, after everything you just said, it might be easier than you think. You have these long trains going through the middle of nowhere, and if they're stopped, I mean, who on that train knows what's in where?
Well, somebody knows that part. But here's the issue, Brian. Think about, and we've all either passed trains like that or we've seen them in movies, well, there's 100-plus cars maybe hooked together. And I think that the folks driving the train don't even know it's been robbed until they start to figure out why the train stopped. And then they eventually see a car has been broken into and their stuff is gone. So, and obviously there's no cameras in the middle of nowhere. It looks like to me that law enforcement have had some success in catching these folks through the fences. In other words, Nike apparently started putting trackers in their packages, and they were able, law enforcement was able to track through surveillance the bad guys taking the stolen shoes to a warehouse, I think someplace around Los Angeles. And they got in there, and like it was stacked to the ceiling with stolen property. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars of stolen property. So if you combine that with the amount that's stolen in stores themselves, drug stores, grocery stores, and then you add to that the theft from semi-tractor trailers that get broken into or stolen, I mean, we're talking about a lot of money. I mean, the small CVS half a block from my house, I know the manager fairly well, and he says he loses up $5,000 a month in stolen property. So it's really a huge, huge problem that I think law enforcement has difficulty trying to do a whole lot with it.
It's just incredible. I was wondering on the Nikes, I mean, do they always come by train? Why not switch it up? Ship by truck,
a
freighter?
Sure I think they come all sorts of ways. But the reason you use trains, obviously, over trucks is it's cheaper. And if you're shipping something, let's say, from the port of Long Beach to Manhattan in New York, the train may be, the most efficient way to get it there. I think we just have to do a better job in figuring out ways to surveil these trains. But again, that's a real tricky problem if you think about all the remote areas they go through, if they're coming all the way to the East Coast. So, I don't know, but it's obviously that theft, that level of theft will eventually get passed on to you and I in buying an item because somebody has to absorb that cost.
Now, you got some of these hotspots around the country where train robberies are. They're going to have to invest in their infrastructure after this made headlines, though. I mean, you think about this many train robberies, that few arrests. It's happening so frequently. We rarely hear about it until right now. Do you see these becoming more popular, Brad?
I think so. And what's interesting, Brian, is in reading articles about railroad detectives in particular that have interviewed people they've caught, and many times the people they catch have done this multiple times, robbing trains. They say that, one of the draws to it is the thrill and excitement of jumping on a moving train, because that sounds like a young person, right? Probably doing that. Once they're gone, once they've left a rural area of California, Arizona, or fill in the blank, I mean, how do you track them? And it's very difficult. Some of this stuff actually ends up back on Amazon. The fences figure out a way to create websites, or they have somebody else do it, and they start selling this stuff to you and I that's been stolen.
And no wonder the prices of these Nikes are so much, right? Now we know why.
I'm sure that doesn't help, right?
Brad, thank you.
You're welcome.
Brad Garrett joining us this morning on train robbers.